Hello, and welcome to The Joy of Yes, with me, your host, Graham Pate. Now, I have to admit, it's been a while since I've done a podcast, and this is mostly because of COVID-19. However, things are starting to settle down, and I had an opportunity to meet with most of the cast from Marvin Berry, a sketch comedy troupe here in Edmonton, Alberta. And the following is a recording from our Zoom conversation. Enjoy. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
So I just want to say thanks for coming in to everyone. So we're all on Zoom right now. I can see everyone, but of course on the podcast, it'll just be audio. So we'll see how this goes. So thank you to everyone in Marvin Berry. We got Mike, we have Quinn, we have Nikki, we have Sam.
Except Chris.
Except
we don't
Chris.
Thank Chris.
No Chris.
No Chris. That's okay. Chris is busy doing other things, I'm sure.
So busy.
Sounds questionable. So I'm just going to throw this out. It's a conversation. Nothing's really planned. We're just going to kind of just talk around and just see what happens. But I wanted to ask one big question, which is, where did Marvin Berry get its name?
We got it from a guy named Tim McCoola.
It's true.
So when Marvin Berry first formed back in April of 2015, it was our original group of five plus a few extra members, RIP Olivier. and Tim McCoola was also part of it. Mm-hmm. And Tim had wrote a sketch called Office Time Machine. How do you explain this?
It's about a office that uses a time machine to accomplish menial tasks. Boom. Like it goes forward in the future to solve some very simple problems, or goes back in time to solve some problems.
Forward in time, like Marty McFly, or backward in time, like Rip Van Winkle.
Yeah.
Anyway, so one of the characters gets trapped in time.
That's not true.
No out. Isn't that true?
Not an Office Time Machine.
I thought that's what happened. Yeah, they went in, they got trapped in time, and that's where they met Marvin Berry.
Aren't we all trapped in time?
Currently, yes.
I think the best way to get to the bottom of this is to do a live reading of it right now. Nikki, you want to take it away?
You take it away, Nikki.
Do you remember it?
It's a Back to the Future reference, because... Oh, in the time machine, the thing that whenever anyone in the office used the time machine, the sound it would make was like, Marvin Berry, which is Chuck Berry's cousin, Marvin Berry, who in the scene in Back to the Future discovers the sound of his song. So, but we weren't called Marvin Berry when we performed that sketch. We let the audience decide what our name would be, and they decided we would be called the Dirty Teasers.
The Dirty Teasers.
Yeah. Good thing we didn't keep that name. Graham, was that you who yelled that out? I just want to make sure I'm not offending you.
Me? I don't think I would be there. When was that? Three or four years ago?
5 years ago.
No, I wasn't
we're
here.
We're 5 years old.
Okay, good. Then I'm not offending anybody here.
No, you're fine. Unless the person who listens to this podcast is that person. They'll be offended, but we'll let it go.
I'm pretty sure we did the whole, like, from this side of the audience, could we have a letter that's, or a word that starts with, or like a letter, and then the other side of the audience, a letter that starts with, or a word that starts with D, from this side of the audience, a word that starts with T, and then we got Dirty Teasers from the audience. Huh. Yeah.
Maybe so we decided to go with Marvin Berry instead.
Yeah, so out of that, we had talked about a lot of different names, like finding acronyms, like names that had acronyms. So that could be shortened, you know what I mean? And then Marvin Berry was the name that we decided on. And we took our first group picture to apply for festivals at the University of Alberta in a parking lot? Was that what it was?
Yeah, I think it was outside of the engineering building.
Yeah.
Right. At like night.
9 p.m. Yeah, just at nighttime, so.
Yeah. So that's where the name came from. So what about the logo? Because your logo is a ghost.
The logo came from our first show. That's where it came from. So
yeah, first fringe show.
Yeah. It was called "Is Everyone Ignoring Me or Am I Just a Ghost?" And it was like a story of a young man who'd recently been broken up with by their partner, played by the young man was played by Sam. And then he didn't know what to do, and his friends were concerned about him and trying to give him advice that he didn't need. And so instead he had this like guardian angel, which was played by me, which wasn't really an angel. It was like, just like a guide. I don't know, who was like coke snorting, booze drinking, super shitty guide. And then the lessons were the sketches that we had kind of put throughout it.
In fact, looking back on it, I would argue that it was more of a play and less of a sketch show.
Yeah, it was definitely like a, yeah.
A pinter?
No. a pinter. Was it a pinter?
Chekhov. More like more
Chekhov. More of a Chekhov.
Yeah.
So, yeah, happy anniversary, by the way, because it's been 5 years since, as you said, since you've been together as Marvin Barry. So,
too long.
Dad!
Not long enough.
Come on, that fart turn.
So you've obviously developed quite a lot since then. So I'm just curious from all of you, what
are I've actually gotten worse.
I find that hard to believe, Quinn.
No, ask anyone.
But I'm just curious, from that moment until now, 5 years later, what's the one thing from each of you that you're most proud of, that you see, wow, look how far we've come? Or maybe a sketch you're really, really proud of that you really knocked out of the park. No.
I mean, we went to a bunch of festivals, I would say like the last festival we did before this whole COVID thing happened was the San Francisco Sketch Fest. And that's like the sketch fest, end all sketch fest, as far as I understand. So
of the world, yeah.
We got into that one, which was took most of our life as a group. You know, we applied every year, so we finally got in after 5 years. So that was an accomplishment for sure. And then COVID was happening literally while we were there too. So like, they're just like, oh, the first case is on the west coast of the United States. It was like, that's where we are. So. We got out before it was too late.
Mm-hmm. Or did we?
So I guess our greatest accomplishment is narrowly escaping a coronavirus outbreak.
Mm-hmm. I would say that our biggest, at least one of the things that I'm most proud of is that 5 week run we never got to do. Because I was feeling really good about it. And
yeah.
Now, like, my memory of what it would have been is probably better than what it actually would have been, you know?
Well, those first 3 weeks, we did more than half. We got 3 weeks, and they were all fire shows, so.
They were
amazing.
Yeah.
I'd say I'm most proud of, like, the way we've grown as a company. So, like, not just in terms of the product that we're creating, like the shows that we're making, but also the way that we work with each other and the way we write with each other and the ideas that we come up with together. I think that's really grown because before it was, you know, it's like any like little family, you know, when you first meet or like even in a relationship, right? You first meet and you're like, oh, I don't want to say that thing. And then later in the relationship, you're like, well, you didn't put the fucking dishes away, you know, that kind of stuff. But similarly, it was like, well, you didn't write the sketch you were supposed to. But instead of that, it's more like now we do things together as a company. Someone comes up with an idea, we develop it together. We can write on our own or we can write in mini groups or as a company. And I think just the way that we've grown as a company has been astronomical over the last 5 years.
Yeah, we have an incredibly effective and efficient way of making set lists with a very and easy to understand legend that we create.
Yeah, very
easy. All of our sketches into like types and subcategories. And then we can build our set lists in ways that are very encompassing of like every type of sketch.
Every single type. So our legend is 6 times longer than our set list.
Yeah, it's very easy to read, very comprehensible.
I really like kind of like our process of developing new material and trying new material. I've heard from other sketch groups that like we're a bit of an anomaly in that they'll like write and rehearse things so much before they even try it once. And I feel like we will rehearse things as minimally as possible and then we'll try it and then we'll be like, okay, one, did it work? Is it worth doing again? And now how can we make it better? And then we'll like, we'll continually evolve and refine sketches as we perform them. Like, I feel like our sketches are never really stagnant.
Yeah. It also makes it a lot more fun for us, right? Because we can perform one sketch 1,000 times, but it doesn't matter because every single time I feel like we're always keeping each other on our toes. Except Dad doesn't like to do that. Mike doesn't like to do that. But we really like to keep each other on our toes to like find a new joke. And like a sketch that Mike and I've done hundreds of times together, ATM, something will happen where I'll say something new or he'll say something new and you're like, oh, that's a thing. So it stays fun. And then the sketch evolves from the first time we did it and everyone is everyone ignoring me or I'm just a ghost, all the way to like touring. And it's the same sketch, but it's completely different. So even someone who comes to see our show multiple times could see the same set list and it would feel like a different show every time.
Yeah, or someone gets bored and then they step into a sketch out of nowhere. Like that exact sketch that Nikki was just talking about. I was like, I want to try it. And then I stepped in. And then instead of Nikki and Mike doing it, me and Mike did it.
Yeah, that was a really good non-confrontational time in Iowa City. That went swimmingly.
The performance actually did go well.
Oh, yeah, it did.
Yeah, the performance was great, but it's the only time that I've seen Mike genuinely mad.
Mm-hmm. You made me mad.
Yeah, I'm so proud of it.
I think I've only seen Mike mad 3 times. Like, actually mad.
So what makes you mad then, Mike, is the fact that it's kind of just, it's going too far into improv rather than...
Oh, yeah, going back to the topic of your podcast, yeah, improv is a curse in a sketch group sometimes. Sometimes, not always. It can be a real tool, but sometimes it's just like, well, Quinn said, I want to improvise it. Like the sketch that we had written in practice multiple times, and we were at a festival, and he's like, I'm going to hop in and I'm going to improvise my lines. And I was like, what are we doing?
I was standing on the sidelines, I was standing on the sidelines talking to the tech, being like, kind of running them through our system room, whatever. Accused, and Mike and Quinn are on the side and they're rehearsing the sketch and we've got time, like we're not in a panic, but it felt like it because Mike is so used to doing that sketch with me and we do it a certain way every time and he knows what's coming and I know what's coming and like we have like little room for jokes and stuff or reactions, which is great, but Quinn was just like left field and it just lobbing the fucking ball out of nowhere, and then suddenly all of a sudden Mike is like, no Quinn, no, Nikki, this is, that's not how you do it. Nikki, tell Quinn how you do it. Just very upset. Quinn was laughing, and I'm like, well, okay.
You were so red.
Yeah. No, that's not. And Mike is the level-headed one in the group. Mike is the one who keeps us all on earth.
So, Mike, you've been referred to as Dad so far. So do you all have nicknames for each other?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I believe I'm not actually sure where the nickname came from. Maybe it was just some concept that we're a family. So I'm just the dad of the group, but then everybody else is a different family member and there's no like logic to it as I understand. So Nikki's grandpa.
Hi.
Yeah. But she calls me dad, even though, you know, she's technically my dad in the family. So.
What's Chris again?
Mom.
Chris's he's mom. Sam, you are.
It.
He's the dog.
He's the what?
He was the dog, wasn't he?
Yeah. And Quinn is crazy Uncle Quinn.
Oh yeah, I'm Uncle.
Like the World War II vet, Uncle Quinn.
I love that.
With one eye.
That. Yeah.
Scary. So. 5 years now, you've got things coming up in the future. And I believe, Quinn, apparently you have this pitch for a new hit TV show. Is this right?
Yeah. It's
going to be big.
Possibly the best idea that I've ever come up with.
Oh boy.
It's my Albert Einstein of ideas. I would think. It's like, it's the one thing that I'm going to leave on this earth that's worthwhile. You know, after I'm dead and gone, this will be my legacy.
That's quite a build up.
So I want to, because we're talking about TV shows lately, you know, since we're all trapped inside, we've been meeting and just being like, hey, what can we do? What do we want to do? What inspires us? And we started talking about maybe pitching a TV show, writing a TV show, which I think Sam and Mike are working on. And then one that I pitched is called The Darkness. Okay, so that's the TV, the title is called The Darkness. And it's a reality TV show. Okay, so we take, you know, we get people to apply and we bring them on set. We do interviews and stuff. And it's the daytime and we talk and we kind of film this person throughout the day. And then the sun goes down and it gets really dark. And then we bring them to a location. Now, the fun thing is that each person has to deal with a new location. But what they're confronted with is the darkness. So it might be the entrance of a cave or a heavily wooded glen, okay? But it's pitch black.
Or a closet. You can't
see anything, or a closet, okay? And the fun, I think, for the audience is just to watch this person really battling with whether or not they will enter the darkness or not.
Mm.
My favorite part of the show is that you don't know what happens to them. So they go into the darkness and they're never seen again. So that's the TV show that I'm getting pretty
again, Quinn, like, cool. They don't have any audio when they go into the cave.
Nope.
There's no video footage of them.
Nope.
The lead up to them entering this thing.
Yeah, so we watch them from a distance go into the darkness. Everything's cut off.
Yeah. The elevator pitch of this show is wide shots of strangers walking into tunnels. Done. That's it. That's the darkness.
But where does the tunnel go? I think it really sparks the imagination in the viewer.
Yeah.
Well, Quinn, you're clearly an ideas man, that's for sure.
Thanks. Thanks, Graham.
Well, here's my question for you then. How do you ramp it up for series 2?
Okay, you know what? That's called the light. And people have to walk into the light. So there's a location, okay? A cave or a wooded glen. But the light is so bright that it's coming out of the trees. You can't see what's past it. And the person has to choose. They have to willingly choose to walk into it. And we don't know where they go. They could go to heaven. They could go to hell. They could go to the other side of the tunnel or the cave or the wooded glen.
The light could be coming from a train.
Yeah, who's to say?
We just don't know.
Wooded glen, that's some crazy stuff.
Yeah, I like the idea of the light being the train. Like, that would really have a really good impact on the audience.
Hey, wow.
Thank you. That's my bad son of the day.
Bravo.
Thank you. Well, that sounds like a very exciting TV pitch, I got to say.
Thank you, Graham.
You're very welcome. Oh, my God.
You can tell everybody in Marvin Berry loves it.
Yeah. Yeah. As much as they love Lucien, I'm sure.
Yeah. Actually, about the same, I would say.
About the same.
Actually, I would say that they like the darkness more. I would say that there's more fondness for the darkness.
Darkness is the Lucien of pitches, for sure.
I love the fact that we now have this kind of phrase. Blank is the Lucien of blank. That's going to become a wide phrase.
Cards,
I think.
Cards Against Humanity card.
Yes. Mm. Yes. Absolutely. That's. So, besides the TV pitch, if you could kind of transport yourself, going back to the whole idea of Back to the Future we were talking about at the very beginning. If you could jump 5 years ahead, where do you think where would you like to see Marvin Berry? Where do you think Marvin Berry might be?
Producing The Darkness for HBO. I think that would be.
Of course.
For HBO.
Oh yeah, straight to the top, baby.
It could be on. Could be on. What do you call it? The I forgot the name of that channel. It'll come to me in a second.
The Discovery Network?
Channel. Discovery Channel or
yeah, Discovery.
Something like that.
Yeah, I think it would be great. I think it would be great to have our own series, especially The Darkness on HBO. Mm-hmm. I think that would be invaluable to all viewers. I'd also love to continue to be doing live touring. I just feel like there's something really special about performing in front of a live audience, especially with like us as a company. I don't think there's any other place I'd rather be performing live. So it's so definitely that. I don't want to lose that on our while we're in the midst of filming all of our things. Mm-hmm. I'd love to keep doing that. Yeah.
Have you ever thought of doing the Edinburgh Festival?
We have. We have talked about that. We've also talked about a UK tour, which is something that we've been talking about the past year, which is something that looks like it is a very plausible. How would you say this? This is something we're really thinking about, really considering, and it's something that we could do. Luckily, we have a lot of connections in the UK, all across the UK, which would be fantastic. So it's something that we've talked about. So yeah, definitely.
That's cool. In the cards. You'll have your groupies following you.
I think the hard part about the Edinburgh Fringe, because we've talked about this a lot before, but it happens right when the Edmonton Fringe is.
Yeah.
And the expense for us to go over there and do a show there instead of just stay home at the third biggest fringe. Nikki's going to say it's the second, the third biggest fringe in the world. Yeah, it's so hard to justify, I think.
I think it's too, like the Edinburgh Fringe runs for a month. And I think that when you really want to get your show to be a sellout, you really need to be like busting your ass for that month. You know what I mean? You have to go for at least 3 weeks. And when it's an entire month. So we go for the first 2.5 weeks, but by the time we'll be either selling out or whatever, we're going to have to come back and do Edmonton. So it's really a choice of like, do we miss an Edmonton Fringe? Mind you, I guess everyone's missing an Edmonton Fringe this year, including everyone's missing an Edinburgh Fringe this year. Do we miss our Edmonton Fringe and stay out there and just like hammer through it? Or do we come back and come home, you know? So that's a thing too. Yeah.
Cool.
Marvin Berry does Europe. That's in 5 years.
Yeah. Marvin wow. Berry does Europe, but mm-hmm. all caps does.
In 5 years? What about like three?
I'd say two.
Mike, what'd you say?
For doing Europe? I thought we were trying to do that like next year.
So Mike says one. One, two, three, and yeah, five.
I said two because of the whole COVID thing has kind of like pushed our schedule a slight.
Oh yeah, I guess I don't know how long this is gonna last. Yeah. I assume it's gonna take forever, but also they're opening up the economy already and the numbers aren't going down necessarily, so.
Oh boy.
It's gonna take twice as long now.
Love that UCP government. What's it, United Cucks? Party? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, the United Constituency of Cucks.
Yeah. If the CBC were to contact you and say we want you to do a sketch, would you want to go down that kind of TV route if it meant giving up the live shows, Nikki?
So we've already done some stuff for CBC, but do you mean like if they got us to do like a full series?
Yeah.
I feel like, this is the fun part about film is that it generally it's works really hard for a shorter period of time. So I think like we'd have to give it up for a little bit, but I don't think we'd have to give it up forever.
Oh yeah, most Canadian TV shows only last for a season, if that.
Schitt's Creek though, Schitt's Creek.
Yeah, there's a few exceptions obviously, but like I have a lot of friends who had CPC things and they only lasted for a year.
But I even mean like filming time, right? Like we're filming like 4 to 6 months maximum. That's like a really long series. Most series are like month to 2 months. And that's an entire series of shows. So like, yeah, we'd have to give it up, but like, I don't think we'd have to give it up permanently. But like, I don't know. I don't think I could just give up the live stuff. I don't think I could because it's so different and it's such a different feel with the audience. And every time it can be a little bit different. And every time I have to try not to laugh when Quinn or Sam or Mike or Chris do something that they've never done before. And I'm like really trying not to break on stage. Like I think it's a special sort of energy that you get to share with the audience, especially when they're like, oh, that was really funny. Oh, she's laughing too. Oh, that must be new. Oh no. And then the audience gets in on the joke. And I think that's really fun. It's also nice, like pushing the limits of what you can get away with an audience, you know?
It's interesting you say that though, Nikki, because I mean, at the last three shows you did for Rapid Fire before COVID all hit, that energy was so palpable in the audience because I was there for all three shows and it was electric. And I don't know how else to say it. It was amazing. The energy in that room was just incredible. And yeah, some of you were cracking up on stage, which made the audience just want to see more of that. You know, it was really incredible. I think Quinn, what you said about, you know, it would have been nice to see how that had played out is true, because it was certainly something that people were super engaged with. Absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, we had fun.
Yeah.
It's also nice to be on the side of the stage watching like Baby Kiss with Quinn and Sam. Too much. Too funny.
there's some sketches that were new for this series that I'm really looking forward to trying again.
Yes.
Revisiting.
So I'm going to ask you one last question, then we'll just call it a day. But I'm just curious. You all have, as we're all human beings, we all have things that we're our skill sets that we're very proud of, and there are certain things that we often see in other actors and other improvisers and other sketch writers that we wish we could do ourselves better. So I'm just curious. What's one thing about one of your colleagues that you think, I wish I could be more like that? I wish I could do more of that, or I wish I was better at doing that. That they are very good at doing.
Well, I think I gave this compliment to Sam a couple weeks ago, but like, I think like my personal favorite person in Marvin Berry always kind of like changes for different reasons. And right now it's Sam. I just like love watching Sam and being on stage with Sam. And I think he's got this marvelous subtlety and patience. Mm-hmm.
Specificity.
Totally, that's a skill that I want to practice and get better at, because Sam can just look at an audience for as long as he needs to.
Yeah.
Until the audience is ready to hear what he has to say.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just marvelous.
Yeah, agreed.
Well, thank you.
No, thank you, Sam.
Yeah, thank you, Sam.
Oh, goodness. What that?
What that?
What that?
I think it's agreed. There's definitely like it switches per day. Like I could definitely say a thing about each person, but for the podcast, I'm going to say Mike. Mike's ability to write and write such like fully fleshed out. Yeah. sketches that are, they just have all of the components. Like Mike's writing, I think, is like unparalleled in the company. And just the way he can so clearly lay out a character and a situation and the jokes all at once, I think it's just like, yeah, something that I really strive to achieve.
Thanks.
Yeah, you hot bitch. I love you.
What's the language warning on this podcast? Okay. Well, I'll throw it back to Nikki then, because my flaw as a performer, not that I would call it a flaw, but I'm just like, I need to get better at acting and all the stuff that comes with that. So Nikki is like, I don't know, considered the consummate performer of the thing, of the group. She like makes all of our performing better just by her knowledge from school, but also just her professionalism, I guess. So I need to like kind of get better at that stuff. So I feel like I have been getting better.
Yeah, you have.
Just from being in the group and working with all these people who are really good performers, I'm just kind of like, I have to up my game a little bit better because everybody's really great at performing. But yeah. I'm just singling out Nikki right now.
Thanks, Daddy.
You're welcome. Grampy.
Well, I'll throw it back to Quinn because he does a thing. He's always done this thing that at first I thought was just like an improv, like presentness. And then as like we started doing more sketches together and like that baby one included, you just like, you do this thing, Quinn, where you like, as soon as we make eye contact, I feel like this presentness and connection from you. And immediately it feels like we're doing it for the first time again. And it was like, we've never done this before and it's happening completely new for the first time. And it really, really helps that connection and presentness and freshness of every sketch we do. Quinn never does something the same twice. And it's so fun to see. It's so fun to play with.
Yeah.
Thank you, Quinn, for your freshness, your dopeness, your steez, your drip, your skrrt.
Also, Chris is in here, so he doesn't get named.
I was going to say, should we compliment Chris on, should we all give Chris a compliment?
Well, I like his lunkhead charm.
Oh, yeah.
Lunkhead charm.
Yeah, he has lunkhead charm.
Man, Chris is so quick-witted. Like, I feel like every compliment that is happening right now could go to everyone in the company. Like, all the things, like, just, like, performing with everyone on stage. Like, there is, I say this to anyone who will listen, but like there is no group I would rather perform with. There is no company that I feel more safe with, have more trust in, have zero boundaries with. Like I always constantly feel so present and so safe and so alive and so excited to get on stage with Marvin Berry every single time. And like, it doesn't matter if it's the same sketch or a new sketch, if it's scary, it's scary together. If it's exciting together. If it's stupid, it's stupid together. And like every single person in, I think, our company just like really brings all of the positives out of each other. Mind you, sometimes Quinn and I bring the negatives out of each other.
But we've gotten so much better at resolving them.
Yeah. And sometimes it's for good reason, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But like, yeah. And like Chris is, and I say this about everyone too in the company, but like to say something nice about Chris's like quick-wittedness too, like the way he can form a joke in his head, whether it's live or written, so quickly and so succinctly. It's insane.
It is creepy.
His speed of thought is outrageous.
Yeah.
Watching him do improv, I was always just like, yeah, what's going on in that weird little coconut of his?
Yeah.
Robot brain.
He's processing and associating things at
unbelievable rates.
An unbelievable level.
Yeah.
Like so much higher than most people. It's like, yeah.
This is us, Marvin Berry, coming out and telling everyone that Chris Borger is a robot that we made to write jokes. And he does have an Intel core processor for jokes.
His lunkhead charm kind of offsets his like joke smartness, if that makes sense. Like he's got lunkhead charm, but then when he gets on stage, everybody's like, wow, this guy's like a demon.
The lunkhead charm was a necessary hammer. Thing that we had to program so that people would think he was a human.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Well, I'm going to say thank you for spending some time with me. I don't want to take up a lot of your time, but is there any last thing you'd like to say to who's ever listening to this podcast, or any last words you want to say?
Oh, I'd love to invite some people to our next run of shows, which is not going to happen.
Yeah. So instead, we invite everyone to tune into HGTV this summer to watch The Darkness.
Coming soon.
I'd like to promote the Marvin Berry podcast. We entered the podcast game via Chris, who just pitched us a podcast. Was like, hey, we should do a Marvin Berry podcast. And nobody wanted to do it. So he just started randomly calling us and recording the calls. And then he created a podcast. And now he's like, I think almost 14 episodes. He's a fortnight's worth of episodes deep. So
yeah, he just called my mom and convinced her that my brother Kevin was in jail. And that she needed to, yeah, if you haven't listened to it, it's episode 12. He called my mom and had like a pre-recorded message from like the remand center and pretended to be my brother Kevin and being like, oh, and she, my mom called me after and she like ran outside. She was at work and she like ran out of the room. And she was like, huh? And it's like, press one to accept the call. And you can hear her go, and then she's like, beep. And she's like, hello. And he's like, hey. She's like, okay, where are you? My mom obviously never dealt with any of us kids being arrested for anything. Cause like, why would she be prepared to know that all of these phone calls are recorded? And she has to be extremely careful what she says and what she asks. Yeah. So she's just like, hello, are you okay? So highly recommend listening to episode 12 because my mom almost shat her pants. I think he's calling my dad too right away, which will be full of rage, I'm sure.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Well, yeah, by all means. Is there, where can they go to find it? Is it iTunes or?
I think all the podcast places.
Yeah. iTunes, Spotify, Anchor.
Yeah, we were using Anchor on your recommendation, actually.
Oh, thanks. I do like Anchor.
Also, Graham, do you consent to being recorded on a podcast?
Sure.
Okay.
I paused and thought, what could Chris possibly do? I go, okay, well, I'm sure I'm up for that.
Okay. Well, I'll pass that along. But you won't know when it's going to happen. That's the magic.
That's the problem. But
the thing is, I have Chris's number, and since he never calls me, if he does call me, I'll know it's his number. I'll go, okay, I know what's happening.
So no, it's always burner numbers.
Yeah, he doesn't use the number.
Yeah, he will have no idea. Okay. Sometimes he like test calls from a different burner number and then calls you from another number.
I shall look forward to that. Well, thanks very much, everyone. I really appreciate you spending time, and best of luck in the future with Marvin Berry when we get out of all this COVID nonsense and get back to doing sketches. Do you think there'll be an extension of your run that was cut short because of COVID?
There maybe next year there might be, but the rest of the rapid fire season is pretty much canceled as well. Yeah. So
that's great. Well,
I think I think as soon as six people are allowed in a room together, I would like to start doing Marvin Berry solo shows. That's Marvin Berry, the five of us performing for one single audience member. Yeah.
I volunteer.
You have 15 people together, but they all have to be 6 feet apart right now.
I thought you were going to say they have to be 6 feet tall. It's like, what?
That's a height restriction.
You must be this tall to ride this Marvin Berry show.
Oh, my mind just went into a strange place there. Anyway, thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Joy of Yes with me, Graham Pate, and my special guests, Nikki, Quinn, Sam, and Mike from the Marvin Berry comedy sketch troupe based in Edmonton, Alberta.